we've had a wonderful start so far to our services, haven't we, with Petra's beautiful song. And listen, I've got a couple of things I want to share with you before we get started. This coming Wednesday, we're going to have a baptism service. Cliff's son, Carson's going to be baptized. He works on Sundays, and I said, that's no problem. We'll just have a baptismal service on Wednesday, and so I want y'all to come and support him on his big day of being baptized, and also, not this coming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that, ladies are going to be finishing the study that they're in on Wednesday night, and we're going to combine the classes back here in the auditorium, and we've got, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks left on the study we're doing here, but each one of them is separate and individual. We've got a study going on called Defining Moments with Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son. A lot of you know who Charles Stanley is. Well, Andy is a phenomenal teacher. We've been having some awesome lessons here on Wednesday night, and we'd really like for all of you to be a part of that. And so when we get through with that study, we may go into another Andy Stanley study, or we may go in a Kyle Eilerman study. We did one of his here a while back, Not a Fan, a very good-selling book right now, and it was an amazing class as well. But we'd love to see you here on Wednesday night, especially this coming Wednesday night. For Carson's baptism. I want you to be finding Romans chapter 10. If there was ever a time when we needed mountain-moving, devil-defying faith, it's right now. Now, I don't know what you're going to accomplish in the course of your Christian life, but the Lord said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. Faith is the medium of exchange in the kingdom of heaven. You can go to the grocery store and you can get what you need with dollars, but that's not going to work in the kingdom of heaven. You need faith as a medium of exchange. So faith is the greatest asset we have, and unbelief is the greatest stumbling block. As a matter of fact, the sin of all sins is the sin of unbelief. It was unbelief that caused Eve to sin in the Garden of Eden. It was unbelief that locked the doors to the promised land to the Jews. It was unbelief that tied the hands of the Lord Jesus in his own hometown. Because in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, it says, and he did not many works there, mighty works there, because of their unbelief. Our sovereign God can sometimes limit himself according to our faith. And so on the flip side of that, all things are possible to them that believe. But if you don't believe, nothing is possible in the spiritual realm. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that the just shall live by faith. All right, look at Romans 10, beginning in verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That literally means they will not be put to shame. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? Answer, they can't. How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? Answer, they can't. How shall they hear without a preacher? Answer, they can't. How shall they preach except they be sent? Answer, they can't. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Someone has said, pray and believe and you will receive, pray and doubt and you'll do without. It's absolutely necessary for us to learn how to believe God. And I want you to keep Romans 10 open this morning and learn how to have biblical faith. First of all, there is the reality of biblical faith. Verse 11 says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Faith in it has to be in the real object in order to be real faith. You'll often hear people say, well, you know, just believe. Just have faith. Well, believe in what? Have faith in what? There's no power in faith alone. There's nothing mystical or magical about just believing. Your faith is no better than the object of that faith. As a matter of fact, a misplaced faith is a dangerous thing. It's not faith that moves mountains, folks. It's God that moves mountains. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God. Without those last two words, that'd be a meaningless statement. Have faith in God. Many people think that faith is just positive thinking. But your faith is no better than its object. If you put faith in faith, you're just a sitting duck for the devil. Listen, the devil will come to you and he'll say, you're not good enough to be saved. You say, well, I understand that, but I don't have faith in myself. And then he'll say, well, you know, there's hypocrites down there in the church. And you can say, well, I'm not putting my faith in hypocrites. I'm putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he'll say, but you don't feel right. And you say, well, I'm not trusting in my feelings. I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'd think that if you answered strongly that way, eventually the devil would just go away and leave you alone. But he's not going to. You know what he does next? He'll come to you and say, well, you tell me you're trusting in the Lord. How do you know that your trust and your faith is strong enough? That's where a lot of people go under. Right there. But if the devil ever pulls that stunt on you, you just say, look, devil, I'm not putting faith in my faith. I'm putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer to all of his challenges. You see, the least amount of faith in the right object is better than a great faith in the wrong object. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says that we're to be looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't put faith in faith, put faith in God. And the way to have strong faith is to know who God is. Let's use this example. Let's say you're afraid to cross a bridge. And it's silly that you're afraid to cross that bridge, because you look at that bridge and you see it's made out of strong steel and concrete. You can see semi-trucks going across back and forth that bridge. And when you see what the bridge can do, it's easy for you to have faith that that bridge is strong enough to carry you, right? Well, when you see who God is and what he can do, you can place your faith and confidence in him, and your faith will grow. Faith comes from a knowledge of God. You see, it says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I want you to have a strong faith. And if you want to have a strong faith, don't just try to make yourself believe. Get to know God. You know, Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. Says, and they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Excuse me, I got the wrong verse. That's Daniel 11:32, Psalm 9:10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And then Daniel 11:32 says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's the reality of biblical faith. Your faith is no better than the object you place that faith in. You need to know God. But here's the second thing I want you to see, and that's the root of biblical faith. You must hear from that God that you know. Look at Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Now notice, and how shall they believe in him whom they've not, what's the next verse? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now look at verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order to have faith, you have to hear from God. You can't know the will of God by just guessing at it. This verse says that faith comes. You don't generate it. It comes. God gives faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the what? Gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Grace is the gift of God, and so is the faith to receive that grace. No one believes God unless God enables them to believe. How does God enable you to believe? Well, he gives you his word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Contrary to popular belief, you don't just name it and claim it. If God doesn't name it, you ain't going to claim it. First God speaks, and then you believe what he says, and you receive it. Put Hebrews 11:1 in your notes. It says, "For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." In the Bible, hope doesn't mean a maybe so. Hope means a bedrock promise based on the word of God. It's assurance mingled with anticipation. That's why the Bible calls the second coming the blessed hope, not the blessed maybe. We know he's coming. How? Because he said he was going to, and he's always proven himself faithful. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, that word substance can be broken down into two words, substand. It's something beneath you you can stand on. And when you're living by faith, folks, you're not walking on eggshells and jello. Faith is substance. It's based on what God has said, and he has always proven himself faithful. So the root of faith is the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how does God communicate that word? There's two words for the word, word. In the Bible, one is logos. Jesus is the logos. We could say that the logos is the Bible. You know, if you go to John chapter 1, you'll see that word. In the beginning was the word, the logos, and the logos was with God. The logos was God. It's the written word that tells us of the living word. Now, the other word for word is rhema. Now, that's the word that's used here in verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. A rhema is an utterance, a spoken word. Now, I guess we could call it a word from the word. When you read the Bible as a saved person, you get a rhema from the logos, a word from the living word. In order for you to have faith, you don't hear from Gary, you hear from God. I'm just the messenger boy. It's not enough for you to hear a sermon. You have to get a word from God. Verse 14 says, "How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You get a rhema from God. Either it comes as you read the written word, or it comes when you pray to the living word. But you have to get a word. You say, "Well, God never speaks to me that way." Well, I've got a question for you. Are you listening? Do you have a quiet time? Are you saturated with the Word of God? Are you ready to do His will if He reveals it to you? Are you reporting for duty? See, the root of faith is the rhema of God. Next, what is the result of biblical faith? Faith is not getting man's will done in heaven. Faith is getting God's will done on earth. The result of faith is the will of God. When you ask to hear from God, He's going to say, well, here's what I want done, and I want you to believe. You can't have faith for anything that's not the will of God. If you don't hear anything else I say today, listen to that. You can't have faith for anything that's not the will of God. If it's not the will of God, you can't have faith for it. Why? Because faith is the gift of God, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and God's not going to give you something that's not His will. That's great. You know why? Because God stays in control that way. If you could believe and have anything you want, you know what you'd do? You'd make an absolute mess out of it. That puts you in the driver's seat rather than God. The result of faith is that the will of God is done. You say, well, that means fewer blessings for me. No, it doesn't. It means more blessings for you. See, the will of God is not something you must do. The will of God is something you get to do. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, look at this, according to His will, He hears us. You can't leave that out. Next, what is the release of biblical faith? How does it get down into the realm of personal experience? Well, true faith does more than merely believe, it obeys. If what you say you believe doesn't translate into action, you don't really believe. I had a friend named Gerald Peters who used to say, what you believe, you do. All the rest is just religious talk. What you say, you do. What you believe, you do. All the rest is just religious talk. Verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Real faith is, it has legs on it. You say, well, Pastor, if I can't believe it, it's not my fault, it's God's fault because He didn't give me faith. Oh, no, wait a minute. Read all of verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who has, what's the next word? Believed our report. And then look at verse 17. Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Had they heard? Yes, they had. But they didn't all obey. Verse 21. But to Israel, He saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. You know, everybody here today is going to hear the gospel, but not everybody here is going to obey the gospel. Not everybody's going to release their faith. The word gainsaying means obstinate, stiff-necked. The Holy Spirit says, this word of God is true, but then you want to debate it. You want to parade it past the judgment bar of your own mind. You'll hear the word of God and say, well, I don't think I agree with that. I don't think I'm going to obey that. God doesn't answer prayers for rebels. God loves you. He stretches forth His hands all day long to you. But if you're disobedient and gainsaying and haven't obeyed, don't expect anything from God. You must believe and obey. And if you do that, and only if you do that, Can you claim verse 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's the question this morning. Would you believe and trust and obey the Lord right now? That's the only way you're going to get to real faith. And real faith in the real object is the only medium of exchange in heaven. If you want something from God, first of all, is it in His will? The only way you're going to know if it's in His will is to know the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to know the Scriptures. God's not going to give you something that's outside His will. How do you know if it's His will or not? You've got to be in the Word. Well, we see that He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our musicians are going to come. They're going to prepare us, have us sing a hymn of invitation. Calling on the name of the Lord means that you present, like Paul said in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, you're supposed to present your body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is holy and acceptable, and your only reasonable service. Well, if you are willing to present your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice today, if you're willing to say, I'm going to take myself off the throne, I'm not going to be Lord anymore, God, you're going to be Lord of my life, if you're willing to do that, you can come today, give your heart and life to Him, and tap into that awesome power that is God. What are we going to sing, Gary?
409.
409 is the invitation. Would you find it? Would you stand to your feet? Folks, it's been a short lesson, but it's a powerful one. If you want real faith, you're going to have to believe and obey God. If you want to believe and obey Him, come today as we sing this song. Let's go.
Thank you.
and Wyatt came up here today, and I asked him if he'd asked Jesus into his heart, and he said he had. And I said, "You believe he's there?" "I do." And I said, "Well, then, are you going to consider being baptized?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, here's the deal. We're going to meet together in my office, and we're going to talk about all that stuff. And we're going to make sure we've got it all nailed down tight. But I just want you to rejoice in Wyatt's decision to fully commit his life to the Lord and to follow him and believe his baptism. So if you're excited about that, would you say amen?"
Amen.
God bless you, buddy. All right. Well, he'll be up here with Dad here in a little bit, and you can come and congratulate him tell him you're going to be praying for him as we follow through with that. All right, Gary, I'm going to turn it over to you or Craig or whoever's next. All right.
Okay, there's some good announcements this morning. This Saturday coming up, we're going to have a work day. Okay, so if you can come by, we'll get some donuts and stuff. We'll be here, but there's a lot of stuff that we got to get done. We have a fire inspection coming in. So with that being said, if you have stuff here at church, so in other words, we had a function and you stored a game or you have something and you would like to keep it, come get it, because we're going to be spring cleaning end of summer. It's going to be a lot of stuff's going to have to go because fire marshals are going to be here, okay? So just to be clarify, if you have stuff stored here and you want to keep it, come get it. It's going to be pretty much that simple. We also need some volunteers. You know, our kids groups are growing, and we have a lot of needs in the kids' age. So up to, you know, sixth grade is kids' needs. So we need teachers, we need volunteers, we need help on Wednesday nights. As this starts to grow, we need adult volunteers. So if you are interested, please see Miss Sandra. Also need a handyman. If you feel like, you know, you got some skills, you can hang blinds, change light bulbs, change lights, stuff like that. Come see Larry or me or Brian, and let's talk about it, because we just got some stuff that needs to be done. We're just out of time. You know, we just need a lot of stuff that needs to get done around here. And so before the church wants to hire somebody or anything like that, we want to see if anybody here feels that need of a ministry that they want to do the work. So in September 10th, we have the church-wide picnic. It's going to be at Joe Pool Lake. If you need any questions, see Miss Kim. It'll be at 12:30 September 10th. Also, September 16th is the Beth Moore simulcast. So, wow.
Woohoo.
We can do better than that, because you know what's coming up, guys? October 3rd, Men's Fish Fry. So we gather here and we head down there to get us some fish. It'll be a good time. The travel's probably the funnest part. And October 1st is our homecoming. I know this is a lot of announcements this morning. You have to listen to me, but hey, we got a lot of stuff going on. October 1st is our homecoming. So Webb Baptist Church is over 100 years old. And each year when we celebrate our homecoming, we ask old members to come, and we usually have special events and a lunch. So it'll be fun. And I believe that's all I have today.
Thank you, Craig. That was awfully short for you. No, I'm just kidding. Let's stand, and we'll dismiss. Bond of love.